Today on Maine Calling, free community college becomes permanent. Maine created its free college program in 2022 as a way to support high school students whose education had been affected by the pandemic. At the time, its supporters, including Governor Mills, hoped to make the program permanent. And during the recent legislative session, they did. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll find out more about Maine's free college scholarship program. Who qualifies for the program and who does not? How has it already changed Maine's community college system? How are faculty adjusting? Which community colleges are seeing the most students? And what about its impact on the UMaine system? What are the hopes for its long-term impact? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And Highland Green, committed to fostering a resident-driven, active lifestyle community for those 55 and better. HighlandGreenLifestyle.com. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum School recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Tuition-free community college for Maine high school graduates is now a reality for many students and will be for years to come. There was a state program just made permanent. Today, we're going to learn more about how the program works, who benefits, and about any limitations or concerns about free community college. Joining me for the hour, Mercedes Poor, who is Director of College Access and Secondary Partnerships with the Maine Community College System. Martha Johnson is Director of Education for the Finance Authority of Maine, or FAME Maine. And Juliette Gilmette is an instructor and co-chair of Liberal Studies at Kennebec Valley Community College. We invite you to join the conversation. Are you a high school student hoping to attend college? Do you know somebody or are you somebody who is already taking part in this program? You may send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. First, though, to start off the conversation, my colleague Maddie Smith is with us. Maddie is Maine Public's Emerging Voices Journalism Fellow, and she covers education. Thanks for calling in, Maddie.
Hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
We know that Maine has had a free community college since 2022 and that it was potentially ending, correct? Tell us what happened. How is it back for good?
Yeah, so Maine is one of 35 states to start a free tuition program. Maine started ours back in 2022, and the model here in Maine is it's a last dollar program. So students that apply need to accept all federal and state aid first before tapping into these free community college dollars set aside by the legislature. And, you know, there was set out and funded in chunks here, and then it didn't make it quite into the budget that the governor signed last year. And so there was, you know, students had funding through this year, but there was questions about this year's high school seniors. And so to get it into the budget, the legislature asked the community college system to lower the cost a bit. And the community college system came back with some changes that lowered it by $2.5 million a year, or $5 million total for the biennial budget. And those included changes to the tuition, so that the program covers tuition but not fees. It required students to live in the state for at least 1 year before applying, and it limited the time that students have to finish their degrees. So with some of those changes and those financial cuts, it made it into the final budget this year, and students, you know, graduating just this year now have funding for the free community college program.
In your reporting on this, what stood out to you as the most significant benefit, but also some of the concerns about free community college?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everybody I talk to, from staff and faculty to higher-ups to high school teachers to students in the program, everybody was really jazzed about this. And there was a lot of positivity around the program and the benefits that it's already had in the last, 4 years of implementation. But there was a few concerns raised. I talked to Republican Senator James Libby, and he talked about that, when you're offering free community college, there's a possibility that undercuts other state institutions that aren't free. It's really hard for, the private colleges in the state and the state, the main state system to compete with free. There was, there's another piece, too, about kind of equity, and that because it's a last dollar program, the money from the legislature is going actually to the most well-off students, because, students from tougher socioeconomic backgrounds are already being covered by federal or even state, the main state grant. So those were some of the concerns raised. But overall, when you hear from the students, when you talk to guidance counselors, the program really opened doors for a lot of students in this state. About a third of the kids that have taken advantage of the free community college program had never, were the first in their family to go to college. So it really opened a lot of doors. And there was mostly positivity when talking about the program in general.
Maddie, thanks so much for calling in. Maddie Smith is Maine Public's education reporter. She is also the Emerging Voices Journalism Fellow. I'm going to turn to you now, Mercedes. Maddie gave us a really nice outline. Who qualifies for this? This is not for everyone who wants to go to community college, correct?
Well, it is for our younger students or those who have completed a high school credential in those past years. So really, this program, in terms of Maine's version of a free community college program, targets those students who have graduated from high school and are seeking to go to college. And what this does is it gives them 2 years to do so. The beauty of Maine's program is that that also means that anyone completing a secondary credential like a HISET would also qualify here. So we need a high school credential within those years that they have. You do have to have lived in Maine for 12 months previous, which honestly is just like our residency requirements across all of our colleges. But yes, we are targeting those students who are thinking about what comes next after high school. This is such a pivotal time in a person's life because they're saying, okay, I'm done with the compulsory piece, and now what do I do next? And what I love about what Maine has done here is they've changed the conversation permanently. We don't have to count grad years anymore. School counselors don't have to think about exactly which student they're talking to. This now applies to anyone who's graduating and thinking about what's going to come next and what's the right choice for them after they complete high school.
But it is not for that person who's 30 years old and decides to go back to school and become a nurse or become any other kind of professional. Go ahead, Mercedes.
Unfortunately, if that person has already achieved their high school credential, no, it is not for that person. If that person is working on their HISET with the Maine Department of Education.
Okay, you said, what does HISET mean? What does HISET mean?
Think about the right way to say this. That's a high school credential for those who have kind of moved beyond those high school years. So it's the high school equivalency. So if I didn't graduate from high school when I was 17, 16, 18, and I got to 30 without my high school credential, I have lots of places in Maine where I can go and earn my HISET, earn my high school credential. And then if I do that here in Maine, I now do have access to the Maine Free College Program.
So it's the contemporary word for what used to be called the GED?
I think that our colleagues over in adult ed don't like us using that particular word anymore. So they prefer the HISET. Yes, they're your high school equivalency.
Gotcha.
And they do a wonderful job across Maine.
Okay, and let me ask you, Martha, Maddie mentioned this is final dollar. Talk to us about that. How many students attending community college already will qualify for some sort of federal or state money or some other kind of grant? Where do these young people fall?
Yeah, I mean, so this is
I'm one of those people that got to speak with Maddie last summer, and we were talking about the possibility of this going away, but the positivity around it coming back. I spoke to her a few months ago. So last dollar in, at FAME, we help people complete the FAFSA to make sure they're accessing all that federal aid. And in the case of the FAFSA, free application for federal student aid, we also use that data to see if someone's eligible for the Maine State Grant Program. And if I recall my numbers correctly, when I've had conversations with the Maine Community College System, and Mercedes, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking at least 50% of their students are having all of their tuition and fees covered by Maine State Grant and Pell Grant. And Pell Grant is the federal grant program. So that's a phenomenal opportunity, and it does completely change the conversation about what's possible with regard to affording education after high school. And I love the word pivotal, because it is such a pivotal moment, and there are so many young people who have decided they can't afford it before even understanding that they can. And now that we've got free college throughout the state, it makes having that conversation so much easier.
Yeah, so Martha, how many, you said 50% or more than 50% of students are already going to have tuition and fees paid for in other ways. How many students will actually receive this newish program, the Free Community College grant
Well, let
program?
me put it, I'll put it in terms of the data that I have, and Mercedes can correct me with the bigger data from the system. So in terms of people that qualify for Maine State Grant, we're serving about 5,500 students in the Maine Community College system. So they are receiving Maine State Grant, they're receiving a Pell Grant as well. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not many more getting the free community college scholarship, because as you mentioned, this is a last dollar in. So I'm part of those first dollars in, and
I
those are the
see.
people that we're tracking. Whereas Mercedes and the Maine Community College system, they know the big pool, the people I don't know because they're not getting Maine State Grant, who might be getting free community college.
Okay. Mercedes, do you want to jump in with?
I would just say it all depends on enrollment and how many students choose to take advantage of this. We know that once Maine Free College hit, we were seeing over 2,500 students, up to 3,000 students join us from high school each year. So it's going to depend on how many students move in. Martha's numbers are about right there, and about half are fully getting that covered by federal and state funds. Then we have some partial students, and then we have these students for whom this will be transformative in terms of how they go to college.
Juliet, from the teaching side, I can only imagine that there's been a shift in students who come to your classroom. For one, I understand that classes are pretty darn full. So tell me about what faculty are seeing, and the good, bad, and the ugly.
Well, faculty, community college faculty really have educational access in our DNA, and it's the reason that many of us teach at the community college. And a number of faculty, like me, are first generation college students, so we know personally how education can change lives. So we're honored to give back to Maine young people in this way. And we have seen our student demographic change. We have seen the rising demand. And so, for example, a typical community college faculty member would teach a five courses per semester. So a math faculty, for example, would have roughly 250 students per academic year. So we were already carrying a heavy load, but then we were met with students who required more support and guidance and resources because they are in this pivotal time entering adulthood. And especially with the challenges that young people have faced with the disruption to their education caused by the pandemic, we've seen the test scores in reading and math go down. We've seen rates of anxiety and depression go up. So these students are catching up academically and socially, and they deserve resources to do that. And a well-supported faculty member is a well-supported student, but we have seen academic resources dwindle as our enrollment has increased and we are meeting the challenge of this new demographic.
So it is challenging. You have more students, and more of the students need more help.
Yes, that's right. And just at KVCC in the last couple of years, budgets are as tight as they ever have been. And we've lost an instructional designer position and we've lost a library position. And so that work is left to faculty to do. And an instructional designer would help us with necessary ADA compliance. And obviously, information literacy skills are needed now more than ever. And AI isn't going anywhere. And now we have one librarian for about 2,500 students, and the rest is left up to faculty.
I want to ask you, Mercedes, about something that I heard a lot about when this program first started in 2022, 2023, 2024, which is that its impact on the UMaine system, that at the very same time we were happy, or many people were happy, that more high school students were going to college, fewer were going to the UMaine system, and it was hard on the system. Is that still the case, or has there been a shift? Are those students, many of the students who were in two-year community college system, now transferring to the UMaine system? What are we seeing?
Well, thank you for that, because I think that's one of the things that we have been hearing about Maine Free College was that it was going to, quote unquote, steal students from other places. And I totally understand that. And I think that may have been true in individual students. But when you look at the actual data, when you look at what these new students were taking, what majors they were pursuing, when they came, some of that starts to say, well, is that as true as we think it is? The biggest growth, and this is something that I just love speaking about. The biggest growth, we look at our majors as buckets, as kind of all the programs in this bucket. So here's the healthcare bucket, here's the liberal studies bucket, and we have something that we called the skilled and technical trades. That is the area that saw the most growth over the past 3 years, as Free College was able to reach out to those students who really didn't think they were going to college and present them with an opportunity that they didn't really think that they had. I'm so proud of that. I'm also proud that the other growth area has been healthcare, which is something that I think the small privates in Maine, the university system in Maine, the Maine Community College system, we are all working so hard together to say, how do we get enough healthcare workers to really make sure Maine is in a good place in 5 to 10 to 15 years? That's the other area that we've seen incredible growth. The other thing I just want to make sure people understand too is that the university system in particular and our small privates in Maine have really seen Maine Free College as an opportunity. And we signed two huge transfer deals with both of those groups. We have Transfer Me, which means that a student who graduates from a Maine community college in certain programs gets to go to a University of Maine system campus without completing an application, without paying any fees, no recommendations. We're going to take care of all of that for them if that student opts into the program. That's an incredible transfer agreement that now applies across all the community colleges and our sister universities. The other transfer agreement, which is just as wonderful, is all of those small privates like Thomas, Husson, UNE, wonderful institutions in our state. And what they have done is, as a group said, we value Maine Community College System graduates so much that, again, no fees for applications, guaranteed admission. We want your students because they know they're so prepared. So the beauty is, I think that this is going to be something when we think about Maine Free College, that this is going to entice more students to start their post-secondary journey. And the state has just made it so that if you want a bachelor's from our one university, you can get that at a fraction of the cost. It's an incredible investment in all of Maine's universities, colleges, and students.
Well, we do need to take a quick break. We're talking about Maine's free community college program. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What impact does the free community college program have on students, families, and on Maine's economy? And how does it work? Joining me to discuss these questions are Martha Johnson, who is Director of Education for FAME Maine, Juliette Guillemette, she teaches liberal studies and is co-chair of that department at Kennebec Valley Community College, and Mercedes Poor is Director of College Access and Secondary Partnerships with the Maine Community College System. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, or find us on Facebook or Instagram. Martha, before the break, Mercedes was talking about, and we were talking about the transition and how it's easier for students to go from the community college system into one of Maine's four-year universities. And you see a financial benefit to that.
Right. There's a huge financial benefit. So now that free community college is baked in, if you will, into the fabric of what we do for investing in Maine, families can plan, students can plan. And so if you have a person that knows that they have a long path ahead of them because they want to do a bachelor's degree or advanced degrees or go to medical school, there's an opportunity here. Start at the community college, transfer in to finish your bachelor's degree, so you've already cut your costs significantly by taking advantage of free community college. And then when you're faced with going on to a professional degree or a graduate degree, you've done everything you can to try to keep those costs as low as you can at the undergraduate level. We see that as a really important part of, first of all, attracting those healthcare providers we need, including to rural Maine, but also for an individual who wants to manage on the back end any student loan debt they might have. So if there's a way for them to minimize how much they borrow, this is a great way to plan and really be proactive and say, okay, what does my path look like? And you know, just to be very candid, we need every path out there. So you could be doing your certificate and going all the way up to doing an MD. We need you all.
I'm going to go to some emails and social media posts. This is from Rebecca on Facebook. My son earned his associate degree from SMCC and is now at USM working toward his bachelor's. The transition was seamless. My daughter is currently at SMCC and loves it. This program has opened doors for our family and gives students a real opportunity to succeed without the burden of overwhelming debt. Opportunities like this are truly priceless. So I wanted to ask you, Mercedes, Rebecca says both of her children went to SMCC. Has SMCC seen the biggest surge in students, or have we seen a surge across the community college system?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure I have that on the top of my head, but I will say what I loved about that email is that it was both a son and a daughter. That's one of the other changes that we saw. And I'm not sure if everyone knows this, but as we move from high school to college, we often see a drop in the number of male students who choose to go on to post-secondary education. That's been true in our colleges for a while. It's usually been a 40-60 kind of split. Free college changed that. We actually got to a 50-50 male-female gender thing, which is not important in terms of just that, but it means we were reaching students who really didn't see themselves on a path to college. I think you can see that in that growth of skilled and technical trades, where those might be some of those trades where they see themselves in terms of that is the future that I want to pursue. But just achieving that balance is an incredible win for us. This is really, again, the permanence of this means that we can start talking to students earlier and earlier and earlier about the possibility about going to college, and we don't always need to be talking about money. And unfortunately, Martha's right, that national narrative around cost and loans is just really scary if you don't understand what all that means. So it's wonderful to be able to take that off the table for students.
Here's an email from Matt. I believe expanding access to higher education is important, and ideally, college should be affordable for everyone. But as funding shifts toward free tuition, faculty, especially adjuncts, who make up about 70% of instructors at the Maine Community College system, are being left behind. I've worked as an adjunct at a Maine community college for over a decade. My pay, already below the national average, has increased by only about 3% annually, barely keeping pace with inflation, while housing costs in my area have doubled. At the same time, record enrollment has led many departments to raise course caps, sometimes by as much as 50%, without additional compensation. We are also being asked to support more students who arrive less prepared, which can strain classroom quality and outcomes. Expanding access to college shouldn't come at the expense of educators or the quality of education. A sustainable approach must invest in both students and the faculty who teach them. Juliet.
Yes, we are. I appreciate that message. We are paying attention to our adjunct to full-time faculty ratio because we want students to have that excellence of education, and we want to maintain the quality of education and all of those concerns that the caller mentioned. Maine Community College faculty are the lowest paid in New England, and we're 20% behind the average national pay for community college instructors. 56% of Maine Community College faculty said they had considered leaving teaching due to the low pay. So we are really concerned with attracting and retaining high qualified faculty. We want to take care of our faculty by offering them full-time positions. At KVCC, we've been trying to hire a nursing instructor. The starting pay is $42,000. So it's really not surprising that we can't find somebody to fill that position. That pay is honestly insulting to the work that nursing instructors do.
And so is there, Juliet, we don't have any legislators on this panel, but is there an effort to change that?
Well, we know that budgets are priority lists. And we are hoping that we can work with the Maine Community College system and that they will recognize the need to make students a priority by making faculty a priority.
All right. An email here from E. I'm curious if someone who graduated high school in 2024 still has the opportunity to use this benefit. I was under the impression it had to be used within 2 years of high school graduation. Mercedes.
So if that person graduated in the spring of 2024, they actually have until the summer of 27 to enroll. It doesn't make sense when we say 2 years. And I've had this conversation with a lot of counselors, but we give you the full academic year after that second fall. So, and again, sometimes you have to look at a graph for this, and I'm sorry to all of our school personnel who help us with this. But so if I was going to enroll right after graduation, that would be the fall of 24. Then I would have till the fall of 25 and the fall of 26. That would be 2 years. But we give them that entire academic year, which wraps around through the spring of 27 and then the summer of 27. Again, makes a little more sense to me when I can see it, but it is a very generous kind of window. So your email or your text there, they can absolutely connect with their local community college and still be eligible.
All right. An email here from Lee. I support free community college tuition, but with a caveat that graduates of certain technical programs, such as construction, electrician, and others, must stay and work in Maine for 3 years as payback. We are so short in Maine of these technical graduates that we need them to stay as payback and protect our tax dollars. Who wants to respond to this? I'm sure that this is an idea that has been floated.
I will just jump in and say one of the things I love about working for the community colleges is that we're truly working with our communities. Our students are generally from Maine and stay in Maine. That's our faculty are from Maine and they work in Maine. Our staff are from Maine and they work in Maine. Our students primarily stay in Maine. And I want to say that, Namartha, I don't know if you have it. I want to say it's in the high 90s in terms of the students that stay in Maine.
Yeah, I have to believe, especially at the community college level, that that is absolutely 100% accurate. We administer a lot of other programs that have work service and residency requirements like that. I don't think I've ever had anyone approach us with the need to have to do that at the community college. And I think it's for all those reasons that Mercedes cites, their community. That's the first, word in the phrase community college. And that's who's there. That's who's attracted and they want to stay there.
Email from Maggie, how many community college classes are 100% in classroom?
We definitely have a growing, oh, I see Juliet. We definitely have a growing number online, but the nature of so many of our programs is they have to be in person. So it's a real balance in terms of what the student wants. But Juliet, I'll let you jump in.
A little over 50% of our students at KVCC are online learners. So we have a large number of students who are taking advantage of online learning. And we are, working to keep our excellence in teaching both in the classroom and online.
On the line with us now is Erica Hanks. She's a second-year student at Eastern Maine Community College studying digital graphic design. Thanks for calling in, Erica.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit of your background. When you were growing up, did you think that you would be going to college?
Honestly, no, if I'm being honest. I grew up about a mile down a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, Maine. I grew up in Jackson, Maine, if most people even know where that is. I didn't see myself going to college. I saw myself going straight into the workforce because most people in my area, that's kind of just what they did.
So, how did it come about that you decided to go to Eastern Maine Community College? Who told you about it? Was it a guidance counselor, an older student? How did you learn about it?
So, our school, my high school, I should say, it was a pretty direct line to Eastern Maine since it was the closest community college in the area. So, when I went to the Waldo County Technical Center, they pushed for, going to community colleges, especially with the free college program. And Eastern Maine happened to be the closest near me, and it happened to actually be one of the only ones in the area with the degree that I was looking to go into. So, it actually worked out really well.
So tell me about your degree. What I read that you're studying digital graphic design. What does that mean?
Oh, okay. So digital graphic design is basically the visual part of most things. Like I'm learning how to lay out books. I'm learning how to brand for different brands, like doing the marketing. I'm learning how to do ads, build websites. So anything that is like any visual portion of media is usually done by a graphic designer.
I'm wondering if you feel as though this free community college opportunity has changed the student body at your high school at all. Has it changed the way others think about their future and how they think about their high school classes?
Oh, definitely. I remember before free college was announced for my class, all of the people in my grade were just kind of going to classes. They weren't really like doing too much with them. They were struggling in certain aspects, but they weren't putting in 100%. And it wasn't until free college was announced that there was able to be that change in the student body.
So even though they could have gotten into community college, it's not a matter of can I get in or can I not get in. It's just like I'm taking myself seriously enough to work hard in high school.
I think so. It wasn't because a lot of the pressure that was put on by students in like my specific high school, at least, was to join the workforce and help support their family at home, especially since even though it's community college, a lot of students in my grade couldn't afford it still. My like group of like my area that I grew up in, like college was something just that was simply unobtainable, even with the more affordable prices of community college. It was still more pricey than people in my area could afford.
Do you find younger people that you know who are still in high school coming to you and asking about your experience?
I have actually quite a few people that I went to high school with keep asking me about EMCC and asking about the free college program and how it's helped me and if it's worth it for them. And honestly, I haven't for a single person said that it wasn't worth it. It is probably one of the best things that you can do for yourself, especially since free college is something that's continuing to be implemented.
And Erica, do you plan to stay in Maine after you get your degree?
I do to a point. I plan on staying in the area for a couple of years and seeing if I can get a job in the area. Unfortunately, for graphic design specifically, it's a little harder to find something in this area, but I know plenty of people who are attending EMCC who do plan on staying in the state.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience. Erica Hanks, a second-year student at Eastern Maine Community College. We're going to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are learning about the program that now permanently provides free tuition for Maine high school graduates looking to attend community college. Joining me for the hour, Juliette Guillemette with Kennebec Valley Community College, KVCC, Mercedes Poor with the Maine Community College System, and Martha Johnston with the Finance Authority of Maine. Share your comments and questions. Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Jean Ginn Marvin, who is the innkeeper at Nonantum Resort. She's also a former state legislator, and she is a board member for the Maine Community College System. Jean, thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. It's great to talk to you.
You too. As an employer, what are you looking for when you hire staff at your inn, and how does this program fit into that?
Well, the free community college has been a boon for the hospitality industry for the past few years. It gives Maine kids just a little more polish to get them ready to speak with our customers and to tell them the story of life in Maine. And the confidence that 2 years at college provides to these students is absolutely remarkable. The change we see in kids that come to us straight from high school and kids who come to us after a couple of years of community college is night and day. So we couldn't be more delighted to hear that it's going to now be a permanent thing.
Yeah. You were a state legislator. You've had a lot of experience looking at the financial impact of state programs like this one. Do you think there's a net benefit for Maine?
Oh, I absolutely do. Whether you're a person that votes with your heart or you vote with your pocketbook, either way, this is a win for all the people in Maine. You know, students who go to 2 years of college suddenly realize, wow, maybe 4 years is attainable. And they graduate after 2 years with no debt at all. And for most Maine families, this is something that they didn't even dream was possible. And now suddenly they're looking at, they get a straight junior status at the university system in Maine, and they're there with no debt, and they're there with a great background, and so they're much more likely to get some scholarship funds. So it's possible to graduate in a four-year program with no debt at all, and for a Maine family, that makes all the difference in the world for any family. And I just think that we couldn't spend our money in a better place. We're setting our students up for the future, but the other thing is that we're getting workers who are ready to hit the ground running. They're not people that we spend a lot of time training. They're already trained. They're ready to go. And the community college has done a great job of looking at industries, talking to industries, and finding out what do you need from your employees.
Well, Jean, thank you so much for calling in. Jean Ginn Marvin is with the Nonantum Resort and on the board for the Maine Community College System. I'm going to go to a Facebook post here. This is from Rose Marie. I taught at the community college during this time when college was free. Here is my concern. I had several students who enrolled and then left school around the 13th week of the semester. This resulted in a cost to taxpayers that did not result in completion. I have a thought. What if we had students pay 50% up front or some percentage that would be paid back if the student finished the course and received a C or better. That way, there would be some buy-in and the experience would still be free as long as the student completed the course. It doesn't have to be a full program, but just completing a class would be a benefit. And Juliet, have you had the experienced students who are not completing, entering because they can, and then really not following through?
Well, I would not say the majority of students, no. There certainly are a lot of students who are coming to us who are underprepared. And so we are facing a lot of absenteeism. Other ways that our jobs have changed is that we have more scaffolding activities, we have guided worksheets, there's more points of contact, there's more focus on grades over learning. Classroom management used to be balancing introverts and extroverts. Now it's something very different. And part of that is teaching interpersonal skills. So yes, I do recognize the concerns of the writer.
And when you say the emphasis on grades over learning, what do you mean by that, Juliet?
Students today are very pressured. They live under they juggle a lot of things and there's a lot of stress and they are very concerned about their grades. And so students might reach out to me to talk about 2 points on a discussion board when they haven't turned in the draft of their essay yet.
And do they have to keep, and I'll turn to you, Mercedes, is there a minimum grade point to keep this this free tuition program, be in this free tuition program?
Well, that's what I like about this one. There's no specific one for this program, but there are for all of our programs. What I love about the free college program now is that, one, we're seeing the exact same retention rates that we do for our entire population. We can't see a difference when we pull those out. And two, when you don't do well in college, there are mechanisms that stop you from moving forward. And those mechanisms would stop a Maine Free College student, but they would also stop any other student. We really don't want a student to keep moving forward if that's not the right time and place for that student to do so. The only other thing that I would like to say quickly, Jennifer, is that this is just such a great Maine solution to a real looming demographic reality. I think it's not just Maine Free College at play here. Like, the Alphon Grant is giving babies in Maine, $500. So the Alphons step up. FAME steps up to help monitor and nurture and kind of grow that through our 529. MELMAC comes in. Jobs for Maine's Grads comes in. There are so many Maine entities just wrapping around our students. And what Maine Free College is going to do at this point is say, and Maine is going to invest in this student as well. And then we have all these private foundations like the Worthingtons stepping forward to say, this is a reality for all Maine kids now. It's not just for those of you who were college bound when you were born. And the reality is that is for some students. So I think I love this because it's so Maine.
Yeah, and Martha, I want to ask you about something. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell me what you want to tell me, and then I'll ask you the question. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad Mercedes mentioned the Alphon Grant. So this spring, the first Alphon Grant recipients born in 2008, when it was launched as a pilot program, are 18 years old. So they are going to be accessing and using their $500 grant from 18 years ago because it was invested. It's worth a lot more than $500. They will be using that this fall to attend college. And then next year, we're going to have, when it went statewide, all the babies born throughout the state in 2009. So it's really good time to be a Mainer. So we've got Alphon Grant recipients. We've got Worthington. Thank you for the shout out to FAME. You know, we're just grateful to be able to do this mission-based work to support Maine people. But it really is a fabulous time watching all these stakeholders say, we love Maine. We're investing in Maine. We want everyone to be successful.
What I wanted to ask Martha is about the students who are not qualifying for a Pell Grant and not qualifying for federal funding, yet the Maine, and we're using the word free, but the Free Community College, it's free tuition. And and we still have lodging, we still have fees. What is out there to help those students that maybe it's great that tuition's being taken care of, but they still have to live and may not have a way to do that?
Yeah, so absolutely. So for the students who aren't qualifying for Maine State Grant or they're not qualifying for a Pell Grant, they would get basically around $3,000. It's $2,800, almost $2,900 in the free community college scholarship. So after that, they would owe the college directly about $1,300. It's $1,276 if we're going to be very specific.
A semester?
That's for the whole year.
Okay.
Those are the whole year. So, you know, these aren't horrible numbers to be
able
to
manage. So that's the fees, but not the lodging.
Exactly. Exactly. So then if you have a student who qualifies for the Worthington Scholarship, that would be an additional $3,000. If they're bringing in their Alphon grant, that would be additional funds. All of those types of funds, my understanding is those can come in after the federal and state money so that the student can use them toward books and supplies or living expenses. And of course, everyone's family situation is different, but if you can manage to be a commuter and stay at home, that's a really great way to save money too. I know every student who graduates from high school probably doesn't think of themselves as wanting to stay home that little bit extra long, but that is a great way to keep those expenses down. But then again, of course, there is the opportunity to look for other scholarships, not just the ones that we're aware of in Maine. And yes, student loans are still something a student may consider, especially if the program they want to attend really requires them to live on campus. You know, maybe the program they want isn't in Southern Maine, but they're from Northern Maine. And that really is going to be the best way to facilitate them getting into their program and completing. So certainly there are still federal student loans. And our job at Maine is just to make sure people understand kind of how to calculate that return on investment. So they're making informed decisions about borrowing. And they feel good about understanding that return on investment.
We'll go to Jim calling from Portland. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. This has been a really interesting show, and I feel like I'm going to rain on the parade just a little bit to say the word permanent and permanence is a little misleading. Mm-hmm. The legislature can't be bound. A subsequent legislature can't be bound by this legislature. So the funding issue is going to come up perennially, or actually every budget cycle. And I just wanted to call that out. You know, it sounds like a very laudable program, and it's going to do a lot of good for Maine. But calling it permanent is, I think, a little misleading.
Jim, thank you for your comment. And Juliet and Mercedes, you are both nodding, both of you concerned about the future, it looks like.
Yes, yes. I think that we have to look at the funding model overall to make sure that this program stays healthy and has longevity.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll go to Wilfred calling from Portland. Hi, Wilfred, go ahead.
Well, hi, how are you?
Great.
I'm a retired program director of Southern Maine Community College in the hospitality department, culinary arts. And I just wanted to strengthen everybody's chats that I think the college system that we have is the best educational bang for your buck in New England. And we offer a very highly qualified education to these students that come here and give them a real heads up when they get out into the industry. And I'll tell you, for 26 years, I loved going to work every single morning. And I'll tell you, it's a great thing for Maine kids.
Wilfred, thank you so much. And I think Gene, Ginn, Marvin would probably agree with you. I so appreciate your call. Let's see. We'll go to Owen, who's calling from Wells. Hi, Owen. And if you could be quick, that'd be great. We're getting toward the end of the program.
Okay, I get that. First of all, you have a great program. Secondly, I think this program of free college education, higher education, is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And for those who are concerned about the cost, I would remind everybody that when I was a boy, I'm 77 years old, the entire higher education system in the whole state of California was free. Okay, I'm talking about Berkeley, Riverside, Santa Barbara. The reason I'm calling is because I've been a college educator for many years, and I'm concerned that in all the discussions that I've seen in papers and online, there's very little about how the people who deliver the work, that is the professors in these courses, how they're going to be remunerated, because what the program means are larger classes, it seems obvious. And as one of your college staff said, the teaching challenges are very different than they have been in the past. because of the nature of the clientele for the reasons that have been articulated. I'd like somebody to really look at how are the teachers being paid in the community college system. And if it's not anything more than COLA or cost of living increases, something should be done.
Owen, thank you. And I need to cut you off because we're at the end of the program. But Juliet, you would agree.
Yes. And I appreciate the caller's concern. And I want to bring attention to the resources because faculty are spread thin and we need resources to be able to provide the excellence in education we're accustomed
Great.
To provide and that Maine taxpayers expect.
And thank you, Owen, and thank you to all of you. The voice you just heard, Juliet Guilmette, instructor and co-chair of liberal studies at Kennebec Valley Community College. Mercedes Poor, director of college access and secondary partnerships with the Maine Community College System. And Martha Johnston, director of education for the Finance Authority of Maine. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, a conversation with author Mark Kurlansky about his new book on fishing and why people choose to fish. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.